Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
All right, gamers, it's Ben Vanel here. Thanks for welcoming me onto the show, Tommy. I'm going to thank you every week just to show you how much I appreciate it. And may I welcome the third co-host of this show.
It's Adam Knox. Gamer, the gamer that Ben was referring to. I'm a gamer. It's the worst word. It's such a dumb word.
Yeah.
Why is it worse than other like verbs that are turned into like hiker? Doesn't sound bad. A person who hikes.
Yeah, that's great. I wouldn't say I'm a hiker. I mean, I go on the odd hike. I'm enthusiast. I read some magazines here and there, but no, I'm not. Mm. I'm not one of those hiker guys.
Hikers rise up.
Isn't hiking usually? I mean, isn't that for like young boys? Don't mostly young boys do hiking? No, man.
Hiker fuel.
Adults do hiking these days. It's really mature. Yeah, there's some really interesting story-based hikes you can do now.
Hiking's a huge industry. It makes millions and millions of dollars. So, you know, we're actually not in the minority anymore. You know, it's a very, like, it's a very powerful force.
Okay, you're a real hiker? Sure. I don't know about that. I don't think she's a real hiker.
She's probably never even been to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, what are your favorite hikes? The Kokoda Trail.
Name one hike. I'll wait. Oh, it's good to be on the podcast talking about hikes. What's on the docket today, boys? What are we covering off? We got that Nintendo Indies. Prezzo, was that yesterday?
I think it was like late last night, maybe, or fuck knows, man.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. Mm.
Ask me anything about the flow of time currently.
Yeah.
There is a game that... So there's a few games that were released immediately after that presentation and a bunch of them look really good. So I'm going to try a few of them for next week, one of which is called A Short Hike, which I believe... has been out on Steam for a bit. A lot of people speak very highly of it, but looks very charming and, could not think of anything better right now than sitting in front of the screen pretending to be on a hike. sounds finally. Pretty wonderful, to be completely honest.
Finally, hikers and gamers can join hands together.
I think I already own it on Steam, but I haven't played it yet, so I also will be able to talk about A Short Hike next week.
Yeah, I think a lot of these were ones that have already come out in other places, as is often the case with Switch games in general. They've either come out on PC first or they came out on the Wii U 18 years ago. So it wasn't bad and they seemed like a bunch of good games, but it wasn't, you know, one of those. I don't think it's worth talking about too much.
Yeah. I'm going to dip in on a couple of them over the weekend, probably on... Now, you know this, Adam. I haven't talked about this on the show yet. And Ben, I don't believe that you know this. Oh. As of maybe probably like a month ago now, I am a 2-Switch household.
Oh, yeah.
I messaged Adam when I was considering it because we talked on the show previously about how Adam bought a second Switch Lite for his household. Mm. And I basically, I don't know what I was. I guess I kind of. I don't know whether I wanted you to talk me out of it or talk me into it. and then you basically. Well, I know because you basically said, don't do it. And then I went, that's not what I wanted to hear. I'm yeah. clicking the buy now. But so, yeah, I did. I wanted you to push me over the edge. And you were like, look, it's great, et cetera, et cetera. You gave me a very well-considered list of good things about it, and then the final message was, but you absolutely should not do it. It's a waste, and it's completely unnecessary.
That's pretty much everything I do on this show and in real life is list extensively everything about it, but then give the most negative possible take.
While admitting that you did it and would probably do it again.
Yeah, I've fully committed and completed the entire experience, and yet, like everything, I hate it.
Okay, so, this was talk me through it, Tommy. What's the reasoning? And the main thing I'm interested in, what color did you get?
The lead up, it was in the lead up to the to Paper Mario coming out. So a couple of weeks before that, I talked on the show about this already, but my girlfriend had gotten massively, massively hooked on Animal Crossing. Like, genuinely. I checked her profile thing the other day. She's logged 65 hours on it. Woo. She's right in there. She's right in there. Never played games before. Got super into Animal Crossing. I was like leaving it with her, the Switch with her at her house when I would come back here. And so Paper Mario was coming out and I was just kind of like, oh, you know what? I actually can't get my fucking hands on this thing. She is so into it. And, you know, as Adam kind of talked about when he got his second one, it was just like, you know what? Sometimes it feels fun to just make a bullshit purchase that you know you don't need and is extravagant. And so just like it got in my brain, I'd really been coveting the little the pink coral Switch Lite for a little while, and I was just like, you know what? This is all the reasoning I need. My girlfriend can just hang on to my OG one for as long as she wants. I can play Paper Mario on this little pink boy. And it turned up, and I love it. It as a dedicated handheld, it feels fucking great. I love how it feels playing stuff on it on the go. I would much rather play stuff in handheld mode on that than on the, even though you get like slightly bigger screen on the OG, it just all feels a little, it's just a little cleaner, a little nicer. It's very light. It's got nice little clicky buttons. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, you don't miss the stuff like the rumble and the Joy-Cons for motion controls and other things, especially when you have a fucking whole other Switch as another thing. But you're right, because it's like it is a nicer version of a Nintendo handheld. For the price of the two of you going to a big fancy restaurant and blowing it out for a night, you can, you know, you can't fucking in 8 years install custom firmware on a restaurant and then play every SNES game on that fancy wine that you got with the meal. That was my justification.
That has been what I've been kind of, stupidly enough, enjoying the most on it, is playing the online, the Super Nintendo and Nintendo games on it. It's great as like a little portable SNES, having the like proper D-pad and everything. I've been cruising through Yoshi's Island on it, and it's great.
I can't wait for a few years to pass and to put like RetroArch or whatever on that thing and play fucking nothing on it and just to have it sit there and gather dust, but to know that I could. But it's very good for that. All the more like the games like Pokemon and like Animal Crossing, Clubhouse games, those ones that feel a bit more handheldy anyway, they're really enjoyable on that. And then for stuff like, I remember playing a little bit of Kentucky Route Zero on it, but the text was tiny, and so not really doing that again. Right. You can still switch. The whole idea of the Switch is to switch back to the TV. Have you found, especially with Animal Crossing, because you can't fucking transfer your saves at all, have you found all that sort of stuff annoying and like keeping track of the cloud saves and going like, oh, fuck, did I upload the one from the other one? Am I overwriting it now?
Not too bad, to be honest. Like, it does a pretty good job of, like, when I've switched back and forth between the two of them, I have gone into the cloud save thing, but it's all automatically updated. It does do a pretty good job. Like, that was super easy. Like, logging in to my account, going on the store, just re-downloading everything that I already have. I got this super big SD card. And then, doing a cloud save backup from the main one. It was all super easy. It keeps them all up to date. Like, I haven't found any issues with that at all. That is the one really annoying thing, like the Animal Crossing thing. Like, they have said that that's coming down the line in a future update, that you'll be able to transfer the save across. Because that's kind of the ultimate goal of the light, is that when I can do that with Animal Crossing, my girlfriend can just have it. That is, I do feel slightly cucked that she's sitting there with the big one that can go into the TV that has the biggest screen, that's got all my, like, I've put so many hours into it, and then I'm there in the corner just on this, like, tiny little pink plastic one. It does feel, pretty weird.
Imagine giving your girlfriend a present, you cuck.
Fucking hell. Well, you've kind of you've orchestrated your own findom situation where you've bought an extra one for you to use and given her your entire library of games. It's like you want to be in a submissive position, and that's fine, man. That's fine.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you for admitting
it.
Yeah.
So this is how deep in she is.
You could go either way, like a bit of a switch. I believe they call them.
Now we're a sex positive gaming podcast, aren't we?
Well, man, if it helps, I fucking think the word simp sucks, and that the implication there is bullshit, and everyone who uses it is a dumbass. There's your socialism. Yep. There's nothing to do with money. Anyway, this does feel, speaking of money, pretty pointless to have spent, like, at least two episodes now talking about owning two Switch. It feels, you know, like Top Gear used to review, like, Maseratis. They're like, this is a good Maserati. Like, who cares, man? Fuck off. Go drive through the jungle or something weird. Say something racist. Come on.
Right.
Give us what we're here for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I should ask you, after all of that stuff, Tommy, that all sounds pretty positive and fun, would you recommend that I buy a second Switch?
Well, you know, you went in on a Switch because me and Adam were, you and I both went in on Xboxes because it felt like everyone on the pod should have the exact same set of equipment. So I think I might have forced your hand on this one.
You know what?
Okay.
You know how sometimes rooms in people's houses will have two light switches, like one on either side of the room?
I've got that, yeah.
How, okay, right. It always seems like it's kind of pointless, and like, yeah, it's nice to be able to turn the light on from the other side of the room sometimes, but you don't really need to ever. And it also gets a bit annoying when you can't remember which switch is set to down and which is up at the moment.
Yep.
You don't know which way you're going to switch it. Yep. It's exactly like that. That is the exact same thing as owning two regular Switch or Nintendo Switches. It's kind of pointless, and it's a little annoying sometimes, but it's slightly convenient, and it feels very extravagant and decadent in a fun way.
The two Switch thing seems like an OCD person's nightmare, like having to like have, because I've got, you know, you want them both down, you know, you don't want it to be like up if the light is actually off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine a person who is driven completely insane to the point of needing to move out. But here's how. So it's my girlfriend's birthday tomorrow, and I got a friend of Ben and I who lives in Japan called Lucy to go to the Nintendo store and get me a...
Nox's enemy.
My nemesis,
I got
Lucy.
Her to get me a pair of Animal Crossing loungewear, I guess technically pajamas loungewear, they're called, from the Nintendo store, and ship them out to me as a gift. So this can be a little cliffhanger. Did my girlfriend like this gift or not? Tune in next week to find out if I've been heralded as a great gift giver or if I'm in the fucking doghouse for completely misjudging her taste.
For a second, loungewear I misinterpreted as meaning like lingerie, I guess because of the lounge and the lounge sounding similar. So for a second I had like little fucking Timmy and Tommy Nook things covering up her norks. Tom Norks!
Yeah.
Tom Norks, yes.
Yeah, little underwear with Isabel on the crotch.
One of the little, like, the holes, whenever there's a fossil underneath, you put that right down where the puss is. I know roughly, right, vaguely where that is stuff. As well. I still kind of remember.
Great shit.
Yeah, on the southern tip of the island.
Yeah. Scorpions coming out of it.
In the interest of parity then amongst us, in terms of the platforms we own, Tommy, I guess you have to drop a good $2,500 on a PC. I mean, that's totally fair, right? That's
sucked in, motherfucker.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. I know. You know, the only I genuinely am really keen to, but the problem is, I mean, you guys, you know my apartment. I don't know where I would put it. I don't really have anywhere to, like, I do all my work at my kitchen table. I don't have like a desk set up in my apartment.
There's no way you could possibly move the electronic drum kit. So I guess you are really stuck, aren't you?
You're right. There's not, where am I meant to put it if I put the desk there?
I know.
Yeah. I guess you've got to leave your big multi-shelved stand full of only Amiibo. That's got to be there.
Hey, they've been packed away for a long time. The Amiibo disappeared from the... Once I decided to start dating again, I was like, the Amiibo have got to go into storage. This is just doing me
the Venn diagram.
Be back, Captain Falcon.
The Venn diagram of getting back in the dating pool and how much you can put up with Kyle Chandler making fun of you. Just cross over in the middle and it's time to get rid of the Amiibos.
Oh, actually, no, genuinely what it was... We were going to do we were doing an episode of The Little Dum Dum Club with Yumi Steins, and there was a period where it was going to be at my house, and I used to have my Amiibo on a shelf near the front door, and I'm like so intimidated by Yumi and the idea of her coming in and that being the first thing she saw. I was like, she is going to fucking eat me alive. I've got to get these out of here.
I'd assume that she would be more judgmental of your cowardice in that situation than the toys. I just remembered as well.
Imagine
you mentioning your other podcast just made me remember that I wanted to mention that coming out right now is a podcast that we're doing where we're pretending that the Edinburgh Fringe is on, and it's been going up daily. I think we're up to day 15 or something. It's called 25 Days, and I want people to look that up if they feel the urge. Yeah, we're like pretending that that the Edinburgh Fringe is still happening, that the pandemic isn't on.
Yeah, because it's three comedians, Luca Mola, Peter Jones, who is a friend of the show, has been on before, done a live show, I think, of ours.
Yeah.
And yourself, Knox. You guys actually did go a couple of times, and you've, due to COVID, you can't go, and you're recreating the experience, or you're kind of crafting a fictional version of it. It's a really fun idea. I reckon everyone should check it out. Anything else we should plug while we're plugging? I think I'm on Twitch as well as the main Filthy One, and I've been trying to do it more. I'm probably going to do some Twitch streaming of a game we'll be talking about today, Knox. But I'm just BenVanel3000 on Twitch. Get on the Patreon now for weekly episodes. But also, if you jump on that Bandcamp tier, you might have a little treat sitting for you on Patreon.
Yeah. And otherwise, you'll get your treat this Monday. That 25 Days podcast as well, by the way. Me, Pete, and Luca do another one called Who's Spooky. I forget to fucking plug shit all the time. That's why my bath is always empty. But if you want more podcasts, you can listen to either of those. 25 Days and Who's Spooky.
Yeah.
And then they've
and
got
the
our
little
names
Dum Dum
well.
Club.
And yeah,
which
Tommy's one.
We've mentioned in passing, but I know there's a lot of probably non-Australian listeners to Filthy who may not be aware of the Little Dum Dum Club. It's an extremely long-running and successful comedy show that Tommy has been hosting for over 10 years. Is that right, Tommy?
10 years in October, I think it is.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Right.
That's brutal.
Take that, everyone. We put the plugs in the middle so you couldn't easily skip them. You probably had your hands full.
Mm.
By now. Anyway, sorry, what were you about to say, Tommy?
Should we plug the other thing that we don't have to go into specifics, but should we plug the other thing that we've got coming up?
Well, we know when we're doing it and that we're doing it.
Yes.
We're currently in the production of the idea that we have, and we're fucking COVID and stuff. We want to make sure that it pans out because nothing is normal at the moment, but it's looking fine. But yeah, we're doing, PAX is having like a crazy global long, instead of their real life show streamed out over, is it like 9 days or something?
It is 9 days. Yeah, 24 hours a day for 9 days.
Yeah. We're on, do you have the date there, Ben? To hand? I think I'm going to have a guess at it.
Yeah.
And you look it up while I'm guessing and you tell me if I'm right.
Okay.
September 43rd at, I think it's September 12th at 10:30 p.m. Pacific time in America on the channel 2. There's PAX 1, 2, and 3. Ben's shaking his head.
Oh, you're well on almost what I believe.
No.
You are wrong on.
We are doing PAX.
We are doing PAX.
You've got to give him that.
Yeah. That is true. We are doing PAX. But
September 14th.
You're still wrong. It's Wednesday, September 16th at 10:30 p.m. Pacific time, and we're on channel 3. We're on PAX 3.
Okay. I had 10:30 right though.
Okay.
I was thinking PAX 2 because BBC 2 is the comedy channel in the UK.
Right.
I think that's why I had 2. That's the cool channel.
And ABC is kind of the comedy channel here. It was, yeah. Well, that was always like channel 2 on an old analog TV.
But yeah.
So PAX, they've made it free this year as well. So no matter where you are in the world, if that works out for you time zone wise, you can check it out. And if you're strapped for cash, can't buy that kind of stuff, it's all free, it's all happening. So we're putting something together that we're pretty excited by. We think it'll be a bit of fun. It'll be a bit different to what the pod normally is, so you won't be tuning in to just watch us do this. So check it out. It'd be great to have a lot of filth watching that, and very keen to hear what you guys think of it.
Yeah. Once again, that time is 1:20 p.m. just after lunch on channel 6 of PAX on the 9th of October. September 16th, 10:30 p.m. PAX 3 Pacific time.
That's it. Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to touch on... I just wanted to mention, I guess. I want to play this Manifold Garden game that's come out on Switch. It was an Apple Arcade exclusive. It's one of those ones that, has already come out on other stuff that I hadn't got to. So maybe if the filth want to jump in on a couple of games for next week, Manifold Garden and A Short Hike, I reckon we'll definitely be covering.
Cool.
Yeah, those are the two I'm most interested in. That Manifold thing looks really cool. Looks like a kind of Escher painting, puzzler, kind of Monument-y Valley sort of style of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? Speaking of, telling everyone when the PAX thing was and sort of figuring it out ourselves and doing our sort of work that we should have done in private in a very public way, and then asking all of our fans to go on over to PAX and watch it to help us out in doing what we want to do, sort of reminds me of a little bit of a news story this week. Did you know that... the GTA writer has left. No. Did you see all this fucking Epic and Apple and Google stuff?
Yes, I did. Hashtag free Fortnite, which is a real shitty, disingenuous, appealing to people's goodwill thing. But yeah, fuck, this is huge.
It's so fucking crazy, and in a lot of ways it's so gross, and in a lot of ways they're right, but also it's fucked, and I don't know, it's all over the place. And to be clear before we go in, I don't fully understand the law. That
yes.
is just something you need to know about me and my hard drives before you ever judge me. But so I think the way it happened, and this is me kind of going over the BBC news article, so you'd imagine that would be accurate.
Maybe just read it verbatim, or read bits of it verbatim, Knox, because I want to compare it to the Epic Games blog post that I have in front of me. So you go right ahead.
Great idea.
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll see how it matches up.
Well, so not in the article, but kind of before this, Microsoft was also having a similar public discussion about Apple in particular, because their xCloud stuff wasn't allowed on iOS for reasons of security and stuff like that, Apple would say, but they, without directly saying at Microsoft was pretty clear that, like, no, Apple just wants a cut of store money.
Yep.
And that's a similar thing to what's going on here. So this is from BBC. Fortnite maker Epic. Okay. All right, everyone. Oh, fuck. No, hold on. Well, how would a BBC... Chaos in the streets of Baghdad.
There you go.
Fortnite maker Epic Games has filed a fresh injunction against Apple in its continuing dispute with the technology... This is just my voice, but annoying. Apple in its continuing dispute with the technology giant over its App Store policy. Apple removed Fortnite from the store after the game offered a discount on its virtual currency for purchases made outside of the app, from which Apple receives a 30% cut. So Epic went around the thing. It's like, instead of buying the V-Bucks through the App Store, it incentivized you to buy them elsewhere and then use them on an Apple product, so that Epic got its money, the 30% being what Apple takes from the transactions made. So they did, they gave a 30% discount elsewhere. So Epic was making the same money, but they were just undercutting Apple.
Okay, would you like to hear the opening paragraph from the hashtag Free Fortnite blog post?
Okay.
Apple has blocked Fortnite from the App Store, removing everyone's ability to install and update the game on iOS devices, while instructing Epic to, quote, remove the Epic Direct Payment feature, end quote. Apple is keeping prices high so they can collect 30% of your payments, and is blocking Fortnite in order to prevent Epic from passing on the savings from direct payments to you. Join the fight against App Store on social media with hashtag FreeFortnite. That's propaganda, right? That's pure, plain propaganda from a corporation.
I don't think there has ever been anybody selling anything less than snake oil that has used the phrase pass the savings on to you.
Yes. Great point. Yeah. So this is, it's happening a little bit in the games world lately, the sort of positioning of corporations as being pro-consumer, which people seem to be lapping up. I don't like it. I think it's dodgy, and I think it's manipulative. Because, you know, this is Fortnite. This is a game that is largely played by people from ages like 10 to 15. So it's almost extra extra creepy.
Because you can argue that, like, you know, their in-game policies don't allow children to spend that money and whatever. But, you know, all toys are marketed to children and then also parents at the same time, right? Because anyway, the thing of Apple removing your ability to download it or update it is true. They've also given Epic a deadline of, I think, the 28th of August where they have to fix everything back up to normal by, or they're going to cancel all of Epic's accounts, which also removes the Unreal Engine from all of Apple's things. So all the third-party developers who use Unreal, which is tons of them, would also be fucked over by this. Like, Epic is using all of these people as hostages in this fight,
as
basically.
Yeah.
And they've got all this weird fucking shit. Like, they had some 1984 thing show up inside of Fortnite, which is, like, Apple's original ad.
Yes.
And also
1980 Fortnite, which is, you know, you got to respect that pun. That's clever, whichever marketing intern thought that up.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it's propaganda. Like, ironically, for it being a parody of a parody of 1984, it is corporate propaganda.
Yeah. Sony takes like a 17% cut or something on the PlayStation Store. What's the difference other than Apple's taking a bigger cut? And I believe the difference is that Epic thought that public opinion against Apple was at a point at the moment where they could potentially win this.
Right.
That is my impression of why they're striking now, because there is that stuff with Microsoft and xCloud. Anti-Apple sentiment is, you know, it's always been there in a similar way to where it is now, where the people who don't like Apple really, really don't like it. For whatever reason. But it just, they're not, I don't know. It's, I get it, from a purely business thing. The only reason Epic is doing this is, of course, because they think they can make more money. That is the only reason at the end of the day any company ever does anything, including any public-facing good things that they do. That is marketing almost all of the time. Every time a company donates to charity, every time a company says, hey, we're giving back X amount of profits, every company does that now, and every company does it because they have to. There's no altruism in capitalism.
But trying to take the moral high ground and you know, being like, yeah, Apple are trying to, they're just fucked, they're trying to keep all the money for themselves, and it's like, yeah, but that's what you're trying to do. Like, you're just shitty that they have the means to be able to do that. Like, they control the store and they can block you out, and like, yes, that's shitty, but that's the arrangement that you got into.
And so the whole thing is they had a lawsuit ready to go, big long lawsuit pumped up. Like, they took
65
this move
pages,
knowing,
apparently.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
this
then was, there's like
cocked and ready to fire.
There's like 192 page something else that came after something else as well. Again, the law side of this, I'm going to sound like a fucking idiot about, and every
wait,
other
wait, something
aspect
else
of it
is not a legal
well.
Term. I thought that was Latin.
But like, it's antitrust stuff, so anti-monopoly stuff versus... Yeah.
Which is good. Monopolies are bad. We all agree on that.
Versus Epic having agreed willingly to the terms of service that they have knowingly broken. So, I don't know, man. It's pretty crazy. And if I was a developer who licensed Unreal and made a game that was doing well on iOS, I'd be fucking scared about this and pretty annoyed.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Luckily, I'm just a dumbass talking above his station, so I don't have to worry about a damn thing. But yeah, it's huge and it's interesting and it's weird and it's so petulant or something. There's something about the way that this is being done that seems so, I don't know, not immature, that's not the right word, but unpleasant.
It feels petty. I think, I think that's the right term, because they're literally sniping back and forth at each other on social media. It feels really juvenile. It feels
and weaponizing their fans. Fortnite or Epic is
exactly because they're possibly pandering to those fans who are literally juveniles. Maybe that's why it feels that way.
Yeah, they've got the K-pop stands on the case. If they had that, Apple would be fucked. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see where this goes and who backs off first.
Whatever.
Either way, these companies will all be fine. And if you can't play Fortnite on iPhone anymore, that doesn't affect us. But, like us personally. But having the Unreal Engine removed from that stuff would be fucking crazy. And also, it's not on the Google Store
anymore.
That would
be...
Man.
Right. Yeah, that would be a huge loss.
Nuts. And Mac development tools as well. So, like, I mean, games on a Mac are far and few between. I mean, the other way around, few and far between. But whatever. It's a big world out there. There's more important stuff going on. Speaking of big worlds.
there is a big world out there. There's a big, wide world out there, isn't there?
I know. Imagine if you could explore the whole thing. What a dream that would be.
explore more than just my apartment over and over again every single day for 6 months straight. I can't even fathom the concept, Adam.
What if you could explore up to 30 pre-made apartments scattered randomly around your favorite cities?
I'm literally apartment hunting at the moment, so that's what I was doing before we started this call, and I am loving it. You're telling me, though, that there's more than just the ones on realestate.com.au?
You can find all sorts of apartment buildings out there. You can find ones that the auto-generated Bing map with some AI on top of it has decided encircle the MCG.
Okay.
A number of stadiums are just apartment buildings. Edinburgh Castle, if you happen to fly over there in Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020, you might see that the castle is replaced by an office block in this version of the world. But it's still pretty fucking cool.
St. Patrick's Cathedral, the one on the corner of Swanston Street and Flinders Street.
No idea.
Oh, St. Paul's? It's St. Paul's,
is
it?
Is it St. Paul's? Right. Sorry, yeah. I did. It was a St. P. That's also
it's
an apartment
the one opposite
block.
The pub.
Yes,
that
it is.
That pub
yeah,
is
yeah,
also
yeah.
It's like a little quaint little house. Flinders Street Station isn't there. We're talking about, Flight Simulator 2020 came out yesterday, our time. And you and I, Ben, have both been playing a little bit of it, dipping our beaks in, getting our toes wet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you reckon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't been able to play it because it hasn't come out for the electronic drum kit yet. So I've got to hold that for when it gets ported over to the Alesis, and then I'll be able to have a crack.
I think you probably had a little more time with it, Knox, but I've played some of the tutorials because I was sort of intending to play it as a sim as much as I could, as much as I am able to fathom and get my head around. So like literally doing the here is every way you can control the camera, here is every way that you adjust the fucking rudder and the other things that I've already forgotten the name for them. the wings. And I'm sort of trying to get my head around it in that sense. But you mentioned you just chucked on like auto assist and gone flying around the world. So I've done a bit of that today as well. I'm impressed by it. I was really excited for this game. I had high anticipation, as I think you did as well, Knox.
Mm.
And it's good. It looks real. I think I need to buy a joystick, but it's hard to make more of a judgment on it at this point. But what do you think of it so far?
The most important thing about it, I think, is that it's not a game, really. It's like a toy and a simulator, but there's no real game built into it. There's a few challenges and stuff like that of like, take off from this weird airport in this bad weather or whatever. Land here to recreate something that happened once. But that really is a little extra dressing around the main thing, which is to make up your own little flights, to make your own fun, to set yourself up. I wonder if I can get this plane out of a stall or whatever. Mm-hmm. It is a tool and a toy a lot more than it is like a, direction-filled game, which is
totally
fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that we always pretty much talk about games from the perspective of a casual. Like, we've got more into games over the past 5 years or more into talking about them and analyzing them, but we do tend to take that tack. So even when we talk about games that are like sims or like life sims or farming sims or whatever, they are actually games still. Most of the time we're talking about actual games with crafted narratives or stages to progress through. And yeah, you're right.
An objective.
Exactly, an objective or a narrative, like whatever it may be. There's something driving you through it. But yeah, this is a sim. And I think maybe I haven't had time to sit down and have like the clear space to go, where do I want to fly yet? But I like the first thing I did when I sat down to play it today was like, I want to fly to Japan because I was meant to go to Japan a month ago. And going through that process of like taking off from Melbourne and seeing all of that stuff and going over, the suburbs that I recognize and then realizing I'm going to land in that place that I've been to 3 times and had to spend a total of like $3,000 to get to before is an exciting thing. Like that is fun. And I guess that along with the people who are really into it for, can I fly a plane, is going to be the appeal of this game.
Yeah. It really does well the feeling of awe that you get from being in a fucking plane. Like every time I fly, or used to back when that was allowed, you get that moment when you're a certain height above the ground where you're like, fucking hell, this is really weird, and the world is so big and small at the same time. That sense of, so there's the thing I've been mainly doing at this point is there's a thing you can do called SLEW, S-L-E-W. You just push Y on the keyboard and you can zip your plane around in like a fast mode where there's no laws of physics. You're zipping around the world really fast.
Okay, so
you
can just kind of,
it's fucking rad. And so you can bring yourself up to something like 275,000 feet, I think. So the feeling of like, so I went to Tokyo.
Yeah.
And I zoomed over to Mount Fuji and went, fucking get a load of that mountain, big ass motherfucker, huh? This your captain speaking, cunts. Fucking hold on to your sick bags there, get them ready because we're going to go fucking fast as. I'm putting no clip on. And then...
If you'd gone there and Mount Fuji had just been apartment buildings, that would have been incredible. The entire mountain.
And it is like, so things like Mount Fuji and like the Sydney Opera House, but not the fucking Harbour Bridge for some reason. And like, like
you sent us a screenshot of that.
Yeah.
And it looks insane.
It's so this weird.
Like, because you're so, because they're a package. You're so used to like
totally.
Nearly every picture you ever see of the Opera House is that the bridge is right there. It's like they're side like, by side. It's just this like dirty shit ass bridge in the background. This
it's like someone who photoshopped who removed Mario's mustache. It's like it just doesn't look right now.
Like
it's
they built
a different theme.
Like a themed casino in Vegas got made of the Opera House, and then there's just some weird fucking thing behind it. But anyway. Yeah, yep. Things like that. There's already one pack on the store there where you can spend, I think it's like $11 Australian to add some more landmarks and buildings to London, because they've got like the Shard there, but then there's not the fucking Pickle and all those other dumb London buildings. And it does look weird. When it's a city that you know, like I spent some time flying around Melbourne, the auto-generated kind of AI buildings and stuff look good when you're just kind of going over and focusing on flying, but when you're really taking a look at them, it falls apart. It is an illusion, and it's like the whole fucking world, though, so give it a bit of credit. You know, they've populated the whole world in a way that I've never seen a game like this do. Those older flight simulators, they never got it looking even close to as close as this looks. So anyway, you can... I zipped around and then, like, flew up high enough that... the daylight started to disappear and I could see stars pricking out into space and just went into the top of the atmosphere and then did like a free fall and crashed into some poor idiot. But it was
one
of those.
Guy.
Yeah, some fella, some unlucky fella was crossing the road at the wrong time. Like, oh, there's a jumbo.
He was,
one
he
casualty was, from this plane accident.
He was doing the Austin Powers thing where he was standing on the ground for ages, seeing the plane fly towards him, going like, and you know, it took half an hour. But the fucking visuals in this game, outside of zooming right the fuck into a house and being like, that's not a perfect recreation. Like, of course it's not, but it does all right.
I'm not in there jacking off. This is bullshit. I want my money back.
The lighting, especially the clouds, the water, all of that stuff, the big picture things, the way that the visuals as a whole come together to the weather, the way it changes over the time of day, the fact that you can just on the fly change it to snow at midnight, or you can change it to a thunderstorm in the middle of the day, or whatever you want, it really does. It's very immersive, and it gives that effect of the majesty of the world and the control that you feel you have over it when you're in a plane, which is fucking cool as, even if you're zipping around disobeying the laws of physics and things like that. But then the more simulatory aspects of it are cool, and it's done really well. It feels and it sounds like flying a plane. I imagine, I've never flown a fucking plane, but this seems like it, and pilots say that it's similar, so I believe them. I believe all pilots.
Adam, you're saying you've never flown a plane? Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and shut the fuck up. But
I am serious, and rest in peace to an absolute king.
Yes, everyone, pour one out for the great man. I guess all of those things that you mentioned, Nox, in terms of like night-day cycles, graphic, like the graphics as they relate to weather, and like sound effects. Like you're right, the sound design's fantastic. It's like one-to-one almost from flying a plane. They are all there to, because this game is a sim, like they are all there to aid the experience of making it feel like you understand what it's like to fly a plane. So sure, like my childhood home doesn't need to be rendered perfectly, although it is, weirdly. My house is rendered perfectly. Federation Square looks like dog shit, but I guess I don't... But that doesn't matter, right? Like, that's it's not about that. It's about making you feel like you know what it's like to fly a plane, and it does that perfectly so far.
Yeah. And it's got the whole fucking world being able to fly over the plains of Africa and then go to Tokyo when you get bored and then go over to, you know, the UK and then go to France and then go... Well, yep. I'm not going to list everywhere in the world. You get it. But
No.
It's really cool.
What other places are there?
Going to fucking Moorabbin Airport is the weirdest feeling, and having to be there and the, you know...
Yeah.
Southland looked like Southland.
I saw a thing in a review that I watched about a guy talking about how he, one of the planes he was flying in it, he got online and got like a PDF manual for that specific model of plane. And this wasn't something, like not the game manual, like that actual real world model of plane. And it worked. Like, it actually helped him to fly the plane, studying the real life manual for this real life plane. That's just astounding.
You look around the cockpit and you can pull all the little levers and stuff. There's some buttons that don't work that are for, like, you know, the cabin lights and heating and stuff that it doesn't really need to simulate and won't bother doing it. But everything that relates to actually controlling the plane, it all works. It's all flippable. And you can very minutely adjust how much assistance you want on different aspects of it. So you can have it, you know, be like flying a plane in GTA pretty much at the most assisted level, or you can have it be like flying a real plane.
There's a great interface as well. I think I like the design. It's very clean and simple, and it's also like you mouse up to the top of the screen and there's like camera controls, the AI assistance controls, and a whole bunch of other stuff that allows you to sort of like bring up these little windows like it's a desktop almost, and control the experience of the sim as you're doing it. You can pause it, you can active pause it, you can... There's a whole bunch of different stuff you can do while you're flying it to... Yeah, like the slider of the experience is... But there's like a slider for every single aspect of the experience. It seems, incredibly in-depth.
It's very demanding of a PC. That you will need a pretty good one to get it looking all right. But it seems like it does scale down quite a lot. You can have it look a bit dodgy and run it on an older computer. But to get it looking real nice, which you will, you know, be very tempted to, you've got to have some fucking horses powering their way through that computer of yours.
It has one of the worst day one patches or day one upgrades I've ever encountered. Because like if you have Game Pass, you're able to preload games. But it only preloads the launcher or the installer launcher for Flight Sim. And then I copped at least 90 gigabytes of day one downloading, which was like a few hours on my internet.
The servers were a little fucked on that first day too because so many people were trying to download it. So it did take forever. But, you know, that's video games these days. That's not specifically a Flight Simulator or an Xbox app or Game Pass problem. I will say the monetization of it does seem like it could get crook already in the little marketplace in there. There's little tiny add-on packs of like, here's this one plane, here's this one airport, da-da-da. And they could nickel and dime a lot if you were the type of person who wanted to try all of them. In that way, it's a lot like the truck simulators and that sort of stuff and the train simulators.
Right.
Where
because they're playing with the entire world. They can just add on landmarks for $2 a pop almost until the end of time. Like, they could just stretch that out forever. And that that did seem weird to me when I read about that, because that was kind of part of the selling point, was like, you get on and the whole world is here, and like, yes, it doesn't matter that it's not 100% realistic, but if you're going to start a precedent of being able to pay little bits here and there to chip away at improving it and making it more realistic, that feels a little, I don't know.
It's a very simulatory thing, because for a lot of people they fall closer to a hobby than just like another game that they're playing. So it's definitely not uncommon, and it's not something they've come up with. But yeah, it kind of sucks for someone who's kind of casually playing it. But on the other hand, it is on Game Pass, which is perfect for someone who's casually playing it, because, you know, I jumped in, had a bit of a go of it. I'll play it for another few weeks while it's calming, and at some point I'll let it go and go back in 4 years or something. it's cool. There's no game there. If you think the idea of tooling around in a sandbox of the whole world where you just fly a plane is cool, then this is as cool as that gets. Other than that, and there's no like combat planes or anything like that, I guess we should point out. It's all sort of passenger or civilian planes and jets and stuff like that, whatever you call them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
I want you guys to do a flight on Twitch in real time. I want to.
Yeah, okay.
I want us to.
I mean, it would be so boring.
Stream like a.
I know.
Yeah, but
that's what I thought when I started my Melbourne to Tokyo flight. Was like, oh, this is gonna take 9 hours.
No, well, that's what the SLU thing is for. You can skip ahead in like a planned out flight and all of that sort of stuff. If you're just going over the fucking ocean, then yeah, skip it. Like I went from Melbourne to Sydney in like 3 minutes or something. And that was really cool because the whole time you're looking down and you're like, hey, look, there's Canberra. Fuck you. Fuck everyone outside of Victoria currently, you fuckheads. How dare you?
Sure.
Yeah. Why are you having such a good time?
I'm thinking a scenario where we do a real-time flight that's not too long, like a 90-minute flight, and we treat it like it's Air Force One. Okay.
Okay.
Crash the plane immediately.
The United States.
End it all.
Yeah.
Solve the problem.
Adam's a terrorist who somehow smuggled on board.
Yes. Okay, that's not bad. We can craft a little mini series of airplane-based movies.
Yeah.
We play out on Twitch.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. That's not bad.
Cool. In the as well as being a fucking absolute nerd on a PC with that type of game, I've also been playing a game called Factorio, which is it's been around for like 7 years, 6 or 7 years or something in early access, and it just hit like 1.0 this week. So I'd never played it before this week. It is a game where you basically have to automate the process of producing coal and all sorts of different resources, building your factory in your little city up and up and up until you can launch a rocket. It's like a Civilization or a real-time strategy game, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But the kind of difference here is that you're really having to think about where everything physically is. It almost feels like you're building like a little circuit board, like a little logic kind of gate thing.
That's what it looks like. I'm looking at some screenshots now. It does look like a circuit board.
Yeah, because you've got to make sure that the flow of there's only a few primary resources and you've got to get all of them into different parts of your physical kind of factory or city thing, because they will end up having to make different objects that then get combined to make other things, and you've got to mix them all up. So you've got to make sure that your conveyor belts can still get through everything. So it takes a lot of sort of quite fun trial and error of going, well, I fucked this whole thing because these fucking, what are they? Not wheelbarrows. Why is wheelbarrow? I just said the word. Conveyor belts. Yeah.
It's not like fast wheelbarrows and upgrade.
No. You are just like a little guy and you're running around sort of Diablo style where you're in the middle of the screen the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got like a little bit of, you know, early on you're mining wood and coal and stuff yourself, that sort of Minecrafty thing. But that meat of the game of trying to really plan out how to best automate and make efficient your production line is really, really satisfying. It feels like it's got this like whole 2D aesthetic that looks and feels like a really good PC game that you missed from like 1999.
Yeah. It's a little like, was it Dark Reign, that real-time strategy game?
Sure, or like Dungeon Keeper, or there's a few of that sort of vein, and like those SimCity-ish sort of things.
Mm.
It's definitely that type of thing. And then so you can set it, there's like the main mode is like a free play mode where you just sort of going and building as best you can, and you can either set that to have like some enemies on there as well, these little alien things that you have to worry about automating turrets and getting yourself some armor, and then you can build a car maybe and go and get them, and then later on you're building entire train lines to take all this shit from between your different areas of the map that you're making these enormous gargantuan productions with, and to eventually finish the game by building a very expensive rocket. It's really cool, and there's so much in there. It seems like there's a lot of depth to this thing and a lot of meat to, if it's the sort of thing that you could get into, for you to really, really sink into it. And I'm worried that's what I'm going to do.
So am I, because it sounds fantastic. And yeah, it looks really cool. I do like that aesthetic.
Yeah, I reckon you'd love it.
Yeah.
Good tutorial missions that it'll take you through, like a little, very little story of your guy crashing and he's looking for some other people. And it'll show you all the different mechanics along the way, but not in too hand-holdy of a way where it's not fun, because it'll say, hey, build this. And it won't really give you much direction other than that after a certain point. So it kind of leaves it up to you to figure out by trial and error all the mistakes of like, fuck, I put this building here, so there's not enough space for this claw thing to take the minerals off of here, so I need to redo this whole thing. But then that fucks the next part of my process, so I've built this all wrong. What if next time I'm doing that thing where when I'm not playing it, I'm thinking of like, if I just left a space of five blocks there, then I could have a conveyor belt go up the middle and then these things take everything into a box. And like, you're planning out how you could fix the mistakes you made earlier while you're not playing it, which is a very rare thing and a very cool thing for a game like that to do.
We'll obviously be releasing later in the quarter the Filthy Casuals DLC, which you actually end up building the Infinity Games machine. That's the final goal, where on it you can play within the game every game that exists.
We're going to get review bombed for that being impossible to finish.
You got to be ordering weird parts from Russia and stuff that don't turn up. It's that's too hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sounds fucking great and it looks awesome. I guess I'll probably try and go in on it before next episode.
Yeah, it's crazy too, because I remember hearing a bunch of good stuff about it in like 2016 or something, but it's been in early access for that long that this is the... So I'm assuming they have a bunch of updates that will come down the line as well. I think the stuff they've added is pretty significant over time. So I would imagine this is the sort of thing that keeps evolving as well. So yeah, really, really enjoying that. I recommend it to anyone who likes basically any sort of strategy game.
Mm.
Yeah, cool. Sounds sick. Well, we'd better wrap it up there for another week on Filthy Casuals. Thanks for joining us, guys. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for links to our Patreon. You can support the show and get an extra episode every week. We've got a new premium coming soon on that tier and then on Bandcamp for everyone else. Check us out at the PAX thing in about a month's time. That's all there is to say. We'll go in on some indies and we'll go in on Factorio. So, yeah, if you want to join us on those things in time for next week, play along with us, do that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Alpha Delta Alpha Mike requesting landing 21-18-34. Bravo. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.